Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, we talked about in an earlier program about Congressman Michelle Bachmann and the Muslim Brotherhood 101 and how that all is a rhythm of movement where one particular man you're going to hear in this interview, and we're pulling this from the VFN Torch. So this is information we have available for you that's been there. We've already talked about that. We want to bring it up and begin to surface all these things so you know that you know God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And in that, you can get knowledge and we're not destroyed. We can just figure it out. Thomas Jefferson, I believe, he had the Quran available for Americans. And he's saying, listen, you need to read this so you can understand our adversary, who's fighting against our nation. And one report, and I can't verify this, but one report was, you know, our first war was against radical Islam. And it was, it's where the Marines formed, the whole concept of Marines to be able to go out there because our trading routes were being attacked by radical Islam in that day. And so it's not a unique enemy to any country. It's just continues on. And their goal is a Sharia law, a caliphate, where it's governmental. It's not as a Christian. You know, the kingdom of God is within us. And that it doesn't matter which country that we're in or who's the president or who's the dictator or whatever, that God's with us. And so wherever we go, the kingdom of God goes. And where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, he says, there I am in the midst of them. When you look at Muslim Brotherhood and the desire for a caliphate, which is one of their goals, and you got to be able to watch, if you didn't hear in our earlier program, Muslim Brotherhood 101 is 3 minutes. It'll break it down and show you, my goodness, you know, this is their goal is a caliphate. Their goal is Sharia.
World domination, if you will. I mean,
yeah, world domination. Yes. And so, and the fact that we've partnered with the Muslim Brotherhood, we've brought them in. The perception of our leadership is that they're not like the others and that they are different than all the rest. But when you look at the pillars of the Muslim Brotherhood, their pillars of belief, it lines up exactly with what's taken place. And they were upset when, before the Muslim Brotherhood formed, according to this, when Turkey began to go more of a secular way of living and kind of mixing a little bit of Islam into just, you know, worldly type living, they begin to minimalize Islam in their classes as they were teaching them, as it talks about, and eventually Turkey kind of happened. Well, now you're looking at Turkey go the opposite direction. Now, the president of who just got elected, president elect, who was there prior to that, maybe as president, I'm here. Type thing. Anyway, so
another Putin type thing.
Yeah, and so you're looking at that this Muslim Brotherhood rise and how their very first speech of our president, the international speech of our president, who actually said that America is no longer a Christian nation. I mean, this is what he said, he went to Cairo, which is a university in Egypt, where he invited, or somebody invited, the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood, like 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And for some reason, the president,
Hosni Mubarak.
Mubarak was not there. And he's the one that outlawed them. And it's like, we've decided, I mean, this is what it looks like. We've decided this is how things are going to go.
Yeah.
And the president couldn't even show up. And this president is the one that had a covenant and agreement with Israel to be able to protect Israel. Israel gave them back their country. Yeah. And then we'll make a covenant with you, you know, agreement, whatever it's called, treaty. And so they're going to replace that.
And they honored it. They honored it. The treaty. It was peace on the borders.
Yes, yes. And so what came of that, a short time later, after that conversation, you know, and we talked about this when we have the actual speech ready for you right there on the VFN Torch. Maybe it's a related article. You can watch it. Our president says, I consider it my duty or my responsibility, something of that nature, as the president of the United States to defend Islam from every negative stereotype every negative stereotype of Islam in the world. It's like, well, that could be a personal thing.
Right.
That's cool. I mean, but as the president, the job is to defend the country from enemies foreign and abroad, defend the Constitution, and defend our borders. But it's almost like that kind of trumped it, because now the Muslim Brotherhood is part of our homeland security.
Yeah.
As an advisor, he comments quite often on Twitter, and we have iftar dinners, you know, which is, you know, celebrating a part of the celebration of Islam and in the White House. And some of the things the Lord has shown us, you know, and this is all we can say prophetically, you know, God reveals to us that there was a deal cut in the White House with the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And it was in the basement, but it really wasn't, you know, how dreams are and things. Mm-hmm. And then we begin to see all these things unfold after that. And it's like, well, it's kind of pans out that way.
Undercover, underground, if you will, right?
Yeah. And the six pillars, or the five pillars, or beliefs, not pillars, but beliefs, or the vision of Muslim Brotherhood is exactly what ISIS is doing today, is to be a caliphate, to be 100% under the rule of Sharia law. And when you hear the word caliphate, we've said it a million times probably on the air over the years talking about this. And now you're looking at it. This is what America's fighting against. But understand, it started with a speech in Cairo. And out of that, President Morsi got somehow elected president of Egypt, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And just like the belief of the Muslim Brotherhood, he went straight in to saying, you know, pushing Sharia law, pushing the caliphate, and begin to brutalize the citizens of Egypt. These are the reports. To the point where Christians and Egyptians were walking side by side on Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House going, President Obama, what are you doing? Why are you putting a terrorist in power? Why did you partner with a terrorist? And that's the same thing you would call ISIS. It's the same thing. And so the Egyptian people just took charge and said, listen, they had pulled that president down, the Muslim Brotherhood president, and the general who was over the military, Sisi, I don't know if he got elected or what, I think they came into place and they're having elections. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to hold on to democracy. Well, this happened when you're looking, look at what we're doing. And I want you to see this. This is a CBN report. This is Michelle Bachmann, and this is coming from August, when last year when we were hearing this. But you got to hear this, because today you're going to see the prime minister. It wasn't prime minister. Brown wasn't elected yet, and they're talking about this. But understand the future of this thing that we're prophesying about on VFN TV and VFN radio. Understand that you're going to the same prime minister, or this future prime minister, is going to be saying, We have no idea how a British citizen sat there and beheaded an American citizen. But his reports are saying that when Jeremy Foley, the American journalist, was beheaded, the guy has a British accent, but the Prime Minister of Great Britain saying, we know from that accent what part of our country he comes from. Hmm. So when we get back to this break, you're going to see this. Because we said this early on, this is where things are going, and we need to focus and get back in our libraries of FBI and CIA. Our true enemy is not the American people. It's people who want to destroy America and destroy the Constitution. Go right into this is from VFN TV on August the 9th last year, and you're seeing this is prophecy in advance, and now they're struggling and wrestling with the very thing that we said that was going to come, the Muslim Brotherhood. Watch this.
When Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and four other GOP House members recently called for an investigation of Muslim Brotherhood infiltration in the U.S. government, they were widely criticized, even by some Republican colleagues. Yet documents captured by the FBI clearly show Muslim Brotherhood activity in the United States. For example, Egypt's new president, Mohamed Morsi, reportedly joined the group while studying at Southern Cal in the late 1970s and early 80s. The Brotherhood's roots in the West, however, begin much earlier.
This is the birthplace of radical Islam in the West. It was here, at the Islamic Center of Munich, that the Muslim Brotherhood first established a presence in the West and spread its tentacles throughout Europe and the United States.
It was the refuge for senior key Brotherhood people. The board of directors was a who's who of radical Islam people from Pakistan, Egypt, Syria, North Africa, and of course Europe.
Ian Johnson, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of A Mosque in Munich, says the U.S. and West Germany initially supported the mosque as a buffer against Soviet communism. It soon became much more than that.
It wasn't a local mosque for local Muslims. It was a political entity that was trying to organize political Islam around the world.
And with the help of money from Saudi Arabia, the Brotherhood moved beyond Munich to begin establishing mosques throughout Europe and America.
People who were key members of the mosque in Munich moved to the United States and helped set up organized Islam there as well.
CBN News recently sat down with two Muslim leaders in Europe who've been linked to the Brotherhood to get their insights on how the group operates. Ibrahim El-Zayat has been closely involved with various Islamist organizations in Germany, while Anas Al-Takridi heads up the Cordoba Foundation in Great Britain. Al-Takridi's father, Osama, is the former leader of the Muslim Brotherhood in Iraq.
You've been close to the Brotherhood movement, meeting with leaders, etc., as you said. How does the Brotherhood operate? Is the Brotherhood monolithic?
This myth of the global network, where there's one hub, possibly in Cairo or elsewhere, sometimes it's claimed, you know, where every single command, every single decision, every single move is orchestrated, is planned. It's not only a myth, it's a fantastical myth. The local Muslim Brotherhood movements in the various countries, they're extremely contextualized. They're very, very local thinking.
In 2008, David Cameron, who went on to become Britain's prime minister, called the Cordoba Foundation a front for the Muslim Brotherhood. Al-Takridi denies the charge.
The Cordoba Foundation isn't a front for the Muslim Brotherhood. We're an independent organization. My links to the Muslim Brotherhood are extremely well known. They're on two fronts. First of all, I'm the son of Osama Al-Takridi. Osama Al-Takridi was, for many, many years, the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Ibrahim El-Zayat has faced similar charges of Brotherhood involvement. In 2005, a German parliamentarian called him a functionary of the Muslim Brotherhood, a claim also leveled by the Egyptian government under Hosni Mubarak. El-Zayat denies the connection, but praises the Brotherhood as an Islamic reform movement.
I think what is special about the Muslim Brotherhood in the end, and it's not only the Muslim Brotherhood, it is what you could describe as a thought that is combining Islam with modern life.
Al-Takridi agreed, telling CBN the Brotherhood's intentions in Egypt and elsewhere are nonviolent and consistent with modern societies.
None of the leading figures of the Muslim Brotherhood has actually come out and said, this is our plan for Egypt to turn into Islam.
Yet that's exactly what happened in May when Egyptian President Morsi told an audience at Cairo University, the Quran is our constitution, the Prophet is our leader, jihad is our path, and death in the name of Allah is our goal. Today we can establish Sharia law because our nation will acquire well-being only with Islam and Sharia. The Muslim Brothers and the Freedom and Justice Party will be the conductors of these goals. Another long-stated goal of the Brotherhood has been the return of the Islamic Caliphate, a union of all Muslim nations under one ruler.
I don't think at all that anybody within the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood is thinking of caliphate like this.
That wasn't the message, however, at a May rally in Cairo when a Brotherhood cleric introduced Egyptian President Morsi like this.
Satakunu! عاصمة الخلافة ستكون عاصمة الولايات المتحدة العربية هي القدس إن شاء الله.
El-Zayat told CBN News that Islamic nations should seek to gain more influence through the UN and other international bodies. He worked towards that agenda for years as part of the Federation of Islamic Organizations in Europe, widely considered as the Muslim Brotherhood's European lobbying arm. CBN News visited the group's headquarters in a rundown neighborhood of Brussels, only to be told that no one from the organization was there who could talk to us. It's another piece of the Brotherhood's often murky puzzle.
People who are close to the Brotherhood will often say, I'm not a member of the Brotherhood, and technically they're correct. Because it's more like an ideological universe. It's a group of people who have similar ideas and thoughts.
Al-Tikriti is one who strives for those goals. He regularly meets with U.S. and European officials, calling on them to embrace the Brotherhood as a counterweight to Al-Qaeda.
I think it's a very, very valid strategy. I think it'll work, and I think it'll be in our best interest.
But Johnson warns that Western governments should steer clear of the Brotherhood.
It's true that not all Muslim Brothers are terrorists, but all terrorists pretty much started by reading the works of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Here in the U.S., the Obama administration seems to have adopted Al-Tikriti's view. It hosted a Muslim Brotherhood delegation from Egypt in April, and Morsi is scheduled for a White House meeting next month with President Obama. Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, reporting from London, Brussels, and Munich.
So you're looking at that. That is off of VFN TV. You can get to the whole article off of August the 9th of last year. And now you're looking at the very ones who are basically denying, saying it's some benign type organization, not a big deal. It's like, it's a huge deal. Morsi got removed. You saw Morsi being in place there, but Morsi got removed because he started murdering his own folks. He started persecuting Christians. He started carrying people to northern Iraq. The first thing they did was cancel the Israeli ambassador, sent them away, and closed down their ambassador place there. And
embassy
there. And
got rid of the Constitution as well.
Got rid of the Constitution.
Just churches.
Started pushing just like the Muslim Brotherhood desires for it to be. And what's really shocking in all of this is, if that's not shocking enough, understand that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's assistant, and that's what Congressman Michelle Bachmann was talking about. And we have this up for you. We have related articles. You can see it. Her name is Uma, right? Mm-hmm. And what they normally do, if you get into office, they vet you. So you hear the word vet. What that means is they do background checks on you. They find out, is this person a threat to national security? You know, and then they
family members have any ties anywhere? Who are you?
Right. But they didn't. And what Michelle Bachmann was saying, Congressman Michelle Bachmann, she was saying, you need to vet her. And others were saying the same thing too. And they attacked her. You know, CARE, the Islamic American Relations Organization, attacked her. And there's nobody, I'm sure she's thinking, where was the church when I was standing up for this? And where was Americans, you know, standing up for this? And all, and she wasn't even saying anything against Uma. She was just saying, don't they need to be vet? Because if you have vetted her, you would have found out that she is a daughter of a big leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. And her mother was a big leader as well. I believe he's passed now. But the fact is that that's a direct relationship. Mm-hmm. And so when you saw Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former, traveling around, a very talked about how much she traveled.
Most traveled,
I believe, that Uma was with her. When she's on her book tour today, she's wrote a book called Tough Decisions or something like that. Standing right beside her is Uma, the daughter of one of the big leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood. Her husband was running for mayor of New York, and it didn't work out. But that was Secretary of State's assistant's husband running to lead New York City.
Weiner,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Former Congressman Weiner. And that was him standing there when he was apologizing for what he did. That was Uma, his wife, standing beside her. Mm. Truly the person of power probably in that relationship. Mm. But I'm just saying that so when you look at CARE, for example, and I don't know a lot about CARE, but I know that it didn't form under President Barack Obama. It didn't form, I believe, under President George Bush. It formed under President Bill Clinton. What you're looking at, from it looks like, this is President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's way of thinking. That you think about it, she went straight to from an Asian country when you had Hamas bombing Israel, and goes right to Morsi in Egypt to begin to negotiate a deal. Well, how could she do that? Uma, her assistant, is the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Now, the people of Egypt were saying, what did you do? You put a terrorist over us. Is this what you think about us? And so the people of, and you can see this on our programs back, but they're saying, we love Americans and we know Americans love us, but your president has put a terrorist over us. We don't understand. And so what you had was, you had Ummah had a lot of, there's a reason why she was the backdrop for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, because that gave her complete access. And you remember that board that he talks about, you know, made of a who's who in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood from Pakistan, from Africa, mm-hmm. from the Middle East, and he's naming all those folks. Mm-hmm. And so she was able to go talk to Morsi, former Muslim Brotherhood, and negotiate a deal on behalf of Israel out of what Hamas was doing. But how does Hamas get funded? Where do they get their money from? Well, Fatah, Hamas,
Saudi Arabia.
But they also say it's literally Hamas is like the distant military arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's so disconnected. And you can see what they're saying. It's not like some organized club here. It's an idea of people that have the same idea and the same beliefs that operate in this direction. And that's how it could be so loosely having a militant arm called people that are like the Hamas or Fatah. And things that are going on, like even potentially ISIS, mm-hmm. because it's really strange. This is really, really strange. And it potentially was good. I don't know. But there was an elected president in Iraq. But because of all this intensity of these radicals, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, ISIL. I mean, you keep changing the names, mm-hmm. but it's the same thing. That forced that president to step down, and they had somebody waiting in the wings to take his place. There was no election. It's like, this is great. And it could be, I don't know. But what happened to us believing that you should have an election and that the people should vote and have some say-so?
He's been there for 8 years.
Yeah, for
8 years.
For 8 years. How about us? We could have helped him and worked with him since we actually went over there and tried to, you know, free them. But we didn't. We just pulled back and waited till somebody got in leadership, and everybody's celebrating that. And it's like, to me, that's Zelensky. That's rules for radicals. Pressure was used to be able to force that. And as soon as he stepped down, it was amazing how our leadership said, hey, we'll come help the Christians now on top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as that happened. Well, we're trying to help get some, you know, how do we get here? What's going on? And I want you to hear the president say again, he's beginning to focus on identifying this radical Islam for what it is. It's totally evil. And then we're going to hear from John Brennan when he talks about early on and what's taking place. Listen to the president from the White House. Watch.
Let's be clear about ISIL. They have rampaged across cities and villages, killing innocent, unarmed civilians in cowardly acts of violence. They abduct women and children and subject them to torture and rape and slavery. They have murdered Muslims, both Sunni and Shia, by the thousands. They target Christians and religious minorities, driving them from their homes, murdering them when they can, for no other reason than they practice a different religion. They declare their ambition to commit genocide against an ancient people. So ISIL speaks for no religion. Their victims are overwhelmingly Muslim, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. No just God would stand for what they did yesterday and what they do every single day. ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt. They may claim out of expediency that they are at war with the United States or the West, but the fact is they terrorize their neighbors and offer them nothing but an endless slavery to their empty vision and the collapse of any definition of civilized behavior. From governments and peoples across the Middle East, there has to be a common effort to extract this cancer so that it does not spread. There has to be a clear rejection of these kind of nihilistic ideologies. One thing we can all agree on is that a group like ISIL has no place in the 21st century.
This totally makes me think about, now that he's head of the CIA, John, tell us.
Well, interesting that the former counterism chief, terrorism
chief,
who is now the CIA director, John Brennan, he said back in the June 29, 2011. This is what he said. He said, I'm not talking about Al-Qaeda's grandiose vision of global domination through a violent Islamic
caliphate.
Right. Yeah, the vision is absurd, and we're not going to organize our counterterrorism policies against a feckless delusion that is never going to happen. We are not going to elevate these guys and their murderous aspirations to something larger than they are.
So I see why he got promoted from counterterrorism to now he's over the CIA.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's happening. The president just said what former counterterrorism John Brennan said is not a reality. He's saying it is a reality. And somebody says, well, it has a different name. Like, think about it. If your name is Bob on Monday and you change your name to Jim on Tuesday, you're still who you are. You just have a different name.
Right.
And when you're talking about Hamas and Fatah and you're talking about Hezbollah, you're talking about ISIS, you're talking about ISIL, you're talking about radical Islam, people who believe in forming a caliphate. And when you talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, they believe that a Sharia law should be enacted. There should be a caliphate. That's what their goal is. Yeah. And the highest achievement in life is dying in the name of Allah, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, the president now is acknowledging it. Back in January, he gave an interview to the New Yorker magazine in where he called the Islamic State fighters as amateurs. But these folks are not amateurs. They're cutting people's heads off.
No, they're not amateur. And they're very well amateurs, but they're very well equipped because when we pulled out of Iraq, I was listening to the former Defensive Secretary Rumsfeld talk about we should have had some sort of agreement that allowed us to stay there and be able to be who we were there to be able to help them carry this on. But there was no agreement signed between America and Iraq, which would have protected our soldiers if they stayed there and they could have fought for themselves. And but because of that, they totally pulled out. And some people were saying it's because of politics and that, you know, wanted to be able to say that, you know, I ended the war. But the thing, it hasn't ended. Look at it. But the whole thing is that it left all of our all of the weapons that we gave them, all the money that we gave them, all the stability that we gave them. They came down from Syria. ISIS came down. You know, ISIS, ISIL, all the radical Islamists who are coming
jihadists.
Down, believing jihadists that are folk. And jihad is one of their aspects of the Muslim Brotherhood. Is they got all those weapons from us leaving them there, and the soldiers, the Iraqi soldiers. And this is so true, so many folks. But when they saw that they were going to have to use the weapons to defend Iraq, they just dropped their weapons and left. Mm. They didn't even defend their own countrymen. And when these guys started showing up in pickup trucks, they did not use tanks and use this weaponry that we gave them. And so what happened was the latest radical Islamic group, ISIS, ISIL, Hamas, they came in there and they gathered all those weapons and all those monies, robbed all those banks. I mean, millions of dollars they have. This is the most funded terrorist group now probably in the history of the world, some reports are saying, to the point now they're even in Lebanon. And this is what Pat Robinson just said this week. He said this to the 700 Club. He said, mark my word, as soon as Hamas is dealt with, you're going to see Hezbollah come in from the north. And you're going to see what you're going to see. I'm adding this. You're going to see ISIS and others. This whole thing is going to be like Ezekiel 38. It looks like it's coming to pass when all these Arab nations are going to gather against Israel. But it's going to take 7 months to bury the bodies and 7 years to burn the weapons, according to the prophecy, because you cannot come against Israel and live. So I want to encourage you today, if you're listening to us, and we have a lot of listeners and viewers in the Middle East, understand, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Realize, you know, get on the winning side. The winning side is God's side. It's not your side, my side, or someone's side. It's God's side through His Son, Jesus Christ. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Cry out to God and say, God, show yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me, even in a dream. And if you call out to God, He will come near to you. Find out more at meetmyfather.org. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.